we're excited about building on that and then being more united when we go into the legislative session in Oregon in 2023. You know, right now we're obviously eyes on the tasks ahead of us, which is to win a continue to maintain pro-worker majorities in the Oregon legislature and win a key governor's race to make sure that we have a pro-union champion in the governor's mansion. You know, we'll continue to look at issues that are affecting workers in the gig economy and thinking about creative and innovative ways to lift standards in the gig economy, knowing the challenges of misclassification, independent contractor abuse. We know that, you know, there are a lot of forces of technology that are impacting workers in lots of different sectors. And so we're really curious about how we can learn more from state agencies about the impacts of, you know, automation on working people in different industries. You know, we're going to be looking hard at tax subsidies, tax abatements, different tax incentives that get used by government, both at the state and local level, to make sure that we're not incentivizing or promoting low-road anti-union employers. And so we're going to be taking a hard look at public subsidies as a way to strengthen labor standards and grow union density. And you know, that list is, again, just being fleshed out over the coming months, but we're excited to first win big for working people and labor in November, and then translate those wins to the kind of progress that we need to see in policy as well.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. That sounds really exciting.
Well, thank you, Brother President, for joining us in our salute to the working class. I just have several announcements. We'd like to give a shout out to the 11th annual MLK Dream Run Weekend Celebration 2022. It will be held on Saturday and Sunday, September 17th and 18th. It's the 2 days of celebrating in the Soul District, featuring a series of 5K, 10K, and 15K professionally timed races through the streets of North and Northeast Portland. So we invite you to join their celebration by signing up today to walk, run, vendor, volunteer, or donate as individuals or in groups by going to their registration page, www.mlkdreamrun.org. Despite the drawdown of the COVID pandemic, we would like to remind our listeners that the fight against COVID-19 is an ongoing one in which we must remain diligent. So the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. And our next meeting will be held on September 13th, 2022. We extend an invitation to all our listeners to join our chapter as we celebrate CBTU's International's Nationwide 50th anniversary this year. You can access our online membership via cbtu.org. Now, since the coronavirus, we have suspended face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our meeting.
All right. Once again, I might also like to thank Brother Trainer and also listeners. Enjoy your Labor Day this year. And fun fact, did you know that Oregon was the first state to officially celebrate and recognize Labor Day? All right. And so our email address is orcbtu10, that is the number 10, 10, at gmail.com. Addressing critical race theory, the redistricting process, our expanding congressional representation, voting rights issues, and others should never be discussed or solved in a vacuum. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. Join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. We would be remiss in not giving a big shout out to our fellow CBTU brother, Brother Fred Redmond, the retired International Vice President of the United Steelworkers, and the newly reelected Region 6 CBTU Regional Representative and the newly elected Secretary Treasurer of the National AFL-CIO. And with that, we'll say thank you for another month. Thanks for joining us, and holla!
Hi, this is Pat Matheny. You're listening to Radio KBOO here in Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight, we're talking with Pinky Stanhesky. Why don't I have you introduce yourself, Pinky?
Hi, my name is Pinky Stanhesky. My pronouns are she and her. I was born in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and I live here in Troop, Pennsylvania. Troop is a suburb of President Biden's hometown, Scranton. And I graduated in 2020 with the liberal arts, liberal science, and I have a goal to be a criminal defense lawyer. I graduated online last year because of the pandemic and all that came up in the last year because of the COVID pandemic.
Oh, great. Well, Pinky, let's start. It sounds like we have a lot to talk about tonight, but let's start by talking about your book, because you've written a book.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, my book is The History of Juvenile System and Civil Corruption in Pennsylvania. And the book about two judges that exposed the two judges in Luzerne County, two now former judges, who were convicted of running their own illegal private prison scheme in Luzerne County, that sent people away for even say things are not even crimes.
Wow. And what is the name of your book?
The name of the book is also right here too, on a story from 2013. The History of Juvenile System and Civil Corruption in Pennsylvania. It's also on Amazon and all the other places. My Amazon link right now and give it to you in the box, the chat box.
Oh, great. Thank you. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. So how did you become interested in writing about this topic, Pinky?
I've always had my passion was always for the law since I was a kid. And many of my cooler best friends are the currently former incarcerated people. And even when I was a kid, I was always advocating for the defendant.
And plus, so these... Sorry, go ahead.
I mean to interrupt you. And plus, up here locally in Lackawanna County, in addition to the county prison here, we also are home to the state and federal prisons, which is on the border with Lackawanna County, going up into Wayne County and that. But it's still, we're home to those places too. Those two, let's just say we see it right here, those issues with the prisons and all. More than most other counties, because when you're home to the state and the federal prison on your border county, and an expressway was built just for it, called the Casey Highway, which was abandoned in the 60s, but then they decided, okay, let's... After the prison was built, they conveniently got that out of the drawer because the person put it in the drawer in the 60s or 80s it was, and they realized they forgot to build it. So now they built the highway, which also connected years later to an industrial park, which is about a couple miles north of me, in a town called Jessup, which expands out to the other towns around here. I put up on Amazon since I have both on there. And Amazon, if people buy it this time of year, most credit cards give extra bonuses when you buy things from Amazon. I know Discover does that with mine.
Oh, great. Thank you. Now, your book, it talks about two judges and their scheme for creating a private prison system. How did that work out for them?
Oh, that made them multimillionaires and all at the expense of children. At the expense of children and their families and schools. And even cajoled even the schools to go. The two judges even got the schools, even local conservative talk shows here to go along with it.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this case a few years back. So they were getting kids sent to private prisons out of like juvenile detention centers and schools for troubled youth and even public schools.
Yeah.
And then the state paid for their incarceration. What happened to that? did those judges get it? Were they exposed for what they did?
Yeah, they were exposed. One judge pled guilty. The other one was convicted at trial. Cervarella was sentenced to, I think, 28 and a half years in prison. And the other one, Cunningham, was sentenced to 17 and a half. I think it was back in 2003 it was. I'm looking it up right now.
And yeah, Pinky...
I remember when it happened, though, but... I just don't remember much as it relates to what the sentencing was and all that. This is from when the lawsuit hearings, when the final round of lawsuit hearings began. This was from WAP, it was. WAP was pretty good with that here on that one. So it was our NBC and CBS combo, commonly known as PA Homepage. In fact, I'm leaving also the link to the WAP story first. About the lawsuit hearing that was back in September, one of the final rounds of lawsuits against the judges, the developer, and the other cast of characters, most of the other cast of characters.
Yeah, this was a really big scandal in Pennsylvania and nationally to think that judges could do something like that.
Yeah, and on top of that, there was a local talk show host out of here. His name was Steve Corbett, where he was so... was so weird and bigoted. If he even caught you shaking a hand by a formerly incarcerated person, he would label you a criminal associate right on the air. And the station WLK, which is right up the street from where the judges were in Wilkes-Barre, in a suburb called Pittston Township, they would really get so many lawsuits because of him and because of a former guy called Fred Williams, known as his real name was Fred Vopper. They were actually thinking of putting the sheriff's office right there because they had the station had so many lawsuits that they would know that these people were guilty, that these two DJs were guilty, that I also mentioned in my book too. But and instead of firing them, they would just keep paying them off until Steve Corbett declared he's no longer loyal to Donald Trump. Then it got him fired from the station.
Wow.
But Corbett himself during one of them was when one time he attacked me and didn't like me because my best friend is a book author, Piper Kerman from New York at the time and all that, and even tried to file a frivolous lawsuit forging her name onto the document against me just to shut me up, but that never worked, and he apologized for it. He bragged about his own criminal history right on the air, stretching from Pennsylvania to Oregon someplace. I don't even know if Steve Corbett was his real name, but he said on the air, and I later found out it was his real name. He was also... the sister is the judge here in Lackawanna County, Trish Corbett. And Corbett himself, while condemning people with criminal history right to the ground mercilessly, he would brag about his own criminal history. It would stretch from Pennsylvania to the West Coast and back.
Mm. Wow. So the area where you live in, it sounds like you have a lot of prisons and federal institutions in your region. What is it like living in an area that's so heavily like influenced by incarceration?
It is like a weird nightmare. And on top of that, right here in my hometown, Troop, right on top of it is the right on top of my house here is the biggest landfill that's going to be the Statue of Liberty. That's going to rival the Statue of Liberty soon, called Keystone Sanitary Landfill.
Wow. Why do you think that your area of the state has so many prisons and institutions?
Depends. It's a variety of factors. Corruption, tough on crime era. It's a variety of factors on that.
Now, Pinky, it sounds like where you live had some influence on your desire to try to work for justice.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you talk about that a little bit? How did you come to the decision that you wanted to work on behalf of, you know, advocating for people rather than incarcerating them?
I've also even witnessed even court hearings by sitting there and observing them and wondering why did the prosecutors do this and that, and seeing cops getting away with God only knows what. Over the years, I remember a lot, but I still do remember over the years.
Wow.
And up here, they just had an even stranger one yesterday in Scranton, it was. There was a story on the PA homepage about the thing Lou Ryan and the incredible lack of diversity in the police department here. I also support the defund the police thing and all that too. And when I saw the incredible lack of diversity on that stage, I was like, "What? Do they not see what's going on here?" And I remember a few years ago when I think I asked the question, "Well, why aren't they advertising for the departments up here down by Philly and elsewhere to get more younger people up at the departments and that?" And they said, "We prefer not advertising outside the area." Yet colleges, universities, public and private, always advertise outside the area here without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They changed that in the last few years, but I remember that. I still remember that from quite a number of years ago with that.
Yeah. How does having so many institutions of incarceration in a region, like, how does it affect the broader community? Does it make people?
Yeah, it never made the community feel safe in any way, shape, or form. It just portrayed all the negative stereotypes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The type that endless researchers have been exposing to over the years.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's really great. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. We're talking with Pinky Stanciski about her book that she wrote that was regarding the really famous case in Pennsylvania of two judges who had this corruption scheme going to try to send kids to private prisons that they owned and invested in. And also we're talking about what it's like to live in the region of a state that's heavily dominated by institutions of incarceration. The role that plays in the economy and in public attitudes. And also we're talking about your own personal journey. So Pinky, can you tell me about some of the people that you've advocated for who have been incarcerated before?
Long, long list of people and names. I've always written that for many years and signed many change.org petitions, many of whom I've written letters to and all that. John Kirk was not the only one. Mark Lanzanotti. There's been a long, long list of names. I have in this Word documents, years worth of Word documents on that.
How did you become inspired to like reach out to people who are incarcerated? That's something that not very many people do.
Because it was a sense that, in my own way, I want to try to help somebody out, try to calm somebody down and all that.
Do you think that more people should reach out to folks who are incarcerated?
Definitely, yes. There's even programs on that called, I think it was Love Behind Bars on Discovery Channel, among other things.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great program. Yeah. I mean, what, like, do you think that people who are incarcerated are lonely?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. And I know it means a lot to reach out. Like, what are some of the things that people can do if they want to reach out to someone who's incarcerated?
They can ask who they know. They can go into various Facebook groups about that. There's a variety of ways on that. In fact, there's even a New York Times story written about that called Finding Love Behind Bars Might Look Different Than You Think. That was with a book. Here it is. It's on the New York Times. It was published in July.
I know that, with COVID, it's been harder, though, to, like, support and reach out to folks who are incarcerated. Have you been able to, like, reach out to people who are incarcerated or maybe visit them?
Yeah,
the COVID crisis?
Yeah, yeah, including here locally, the ones I know here locally, I reached out to them via apps called, in this situation, it's called GTL Getting Out, and the other one is called Connect Network.
So you're able to reach out to people electronically if you can't be there in person.
Yeah, and also if they're in the federal system right now in the prisons of three states, I think it's only three states, called CoreLinks, CoreLinks. I'm going to give you the website for that too for your listeners.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've heard of Corlings before, too.
Yeah. Pennsylvania made it a little strange in recent years. If you want to send a physical letter to someone that's incarcerated, you have to send to an address down in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this. And then they turn it into an email. Yeah.
That is very questionable. Very questionable all the way around.
That is really weird.
Yeah.
It seems like prisons make things harder and harder for folks who are incarcerated. What are some of the things that you think that need to be reformed about our prison system?
There's quite a lot. Ending mandatory minimums for starters, ending parole sentences is another way. Another way is also limiting that to send the mail down to Florida when they can send it right to the facility itself, like the way they used to do and all, which I slowly found out that the send the mail to Florida idea was based on lies from the prison guards that they got something and it turned out later they never had something that was in the envelope.
Wow.
Illnesses too.
Here in Oregon, we only have state-run prisons, but I've heard that Pennsylvania also has private prisons. Is that correct?
No, Pennsylvania doesn't. It's just like only some county prisons down by the Harrisburg, which technically Baltimore area, called York. I say that because York is technically a Baltimore suburb, and one in the Philadelphia area called Delaware County. And the other one up in Pike, which I think is private owned too, up in nearby Pike County, which is part of the New York City area for those that you learn the geography and all that sort of stuff. I know that because I was born in New Jersey, New Brunswick, New Jersey. My mom was born in Brooklyn, New York. So you know all that weird geography stuff up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of familiar, although I'm not totally familiar. So, like, which side of Pennsylvania are you on? Are you on the Philadelphia side or the Pittsburgh side?
Philly side. We're the Philly side.
Oh, okay. Okay, right. All right. So you're basically in the corridor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the Northeast corridor.
Yeah, and also we're minutes away from Allentown, and you know we're officially or unofficially, depends on how you look at it, we're all at Philadelphia area stuff begins, for whatever it is, anything and all.
Yeah. The Philadelphia prison system has got a really bad reputation. Like, over the years, there's been a lot of stories of abuse and mistreatment of people. Is it still as bad as it used to be, or has it gotten better?
It's kind of been changing over the years over the Philadelphia prison system. I subscribed to the Philadelphia Inquirer for years, and it's been changing over the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. One of the most famous...
There was a murder of a man that was right outside, when he was right outside the prison as he was leaving the prison.
Wow.
Actually, now, thanks to the pandemic, the Philadelphia prisons have been getting worse, including last week there was an editorial about in the Philadelphia paper, which I'll post to you the link to, so you can see it for your listeners in that.
Thank you.
It was kind of a ho-hum... because of newer management taking over a lot of indictments down there, and all, it was kind of like a questionable situation. Now it's gotten much, much worse.
Wow. Now, one of the most famous prisoners, someone that we still hear about a lot out here in Oregon, is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Is he still incarcerated?
Yeah, he's still incarcerated, this time over in Mahanoy City, which is a town midway between Scranton and Harrisburg on Interstate 81.
Do you think that he'll ever be released?
I think eventually they'll do that, eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the most famous political prisoners in the world.
Yeah, well, and there was one prisoner that I got to know here locally, courtesy of his mom, that I met at the Nyack Park, at a Colonel Justice meeting over in Nyack Park in Scranton, which I'll put to you from my Twitter account what that was all about. I'm also a member of the organizations that were behind that, including... kind of informally and formally on the board of one here called Northeastern Pennsylvania Prison Advocates, aka NEPA Prison Advocates.
Pinky, if you could, what do you think would be a good alternative to incarceration? Are you an abolitionist?
Yeah, I'm an abolitionist, yeah.
What do you think that would be a better alternative to incarceration?
There are a number out there, including home confinement and legalizing illegal drugs, as what they're doing right now, starting with the marijuana. So there's a number of ideas out there on it.
A lot of people make the argument that we have to have prisons in order to make people feel safe. Do you think that there's any merit to that, or do you think that that's a bogus argument?
There's no merit to that, because if that were true, we'd be the safest country in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the function of prisons are then?
This is where I was when the criminal justice reform meeting with AAP prison advocates. I told you about. I made a nice Twitter thread about it. It was posted days later, actually almost a month later altogether, because I forgot to do that due to conflicts with my political schedule, because I also volunteer for a number of political things online this year. I've been doing online, offline for years with the political whatever events, and since I was a teenager, actually. And since the pandemic happened, it's been largely online. Here's the link to my Twitter thread about the Northeastern Pennsylvania prison advocates and the meeting in the park that we had there. Yeah, that was supposed to be on September 25th. The purpose of prisons was supposed to be a rehabilitation thing, but it went long past that, thanks to, among other things, racism in the United States and other issues.
Weren't prisons, as they have been designed and implemented here in the United States, didn't they originate in Pennsylvania?
I think they did.
They're originally supposed to be places for reflection. They were based on an old religious model of mm-hmm.
But they went way past that, and thanks to racist taking over and other issues.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it sounds like you are very passionate and very knowledgeable about issues related to the criminal justice system and political movements to try to advocate for justice for incarcerated people.
Yeah, I also know one. He's a famous artist who's a lifer, and I also know his advocates here locally, and some of his family members too live down in Philadelphia, called Mark Logney. He's the creator of Logney Art, which I'll give you that Facebook page, Logney Art Facebook page, in a minute.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank you. Pinky, with someone who's had as much experience and who's able to capture so much knowledge about prisons and about the criminal justice system, what do you think is the number one issue that we need to address immediately about prisons in America? What's the most important issue we have to address?
It's long and complicated. If I had to pick only one, it would be basically ending death by incarceration, the very first mm-hmm. one. The others two include safety and that, but I would argue that's the very first one, since America's number one incarceration, and many places are still obsessed with it, including here locally. I think here locally too, because again, with the prison here and the prison not that far away from me, the two of them, the state and federal prisons, that is. About 10 minutes north of me or so.
Wow. That is great. Thank you so much.
There's a link to my friend's art page. Mark Logney is his name. He's the artist serving life here in the prison in Dallas, which is a suburb of Wilkes-Barre.
Okay.
And they're going through all kinds of nightmares down there in Dallas that I'm sure you may have heard about in Carol Leonard's prison reform group, in addition to my postings on the group and all. About nightmares going on down there since the COVID happened.
Oh, it's been terrible ever since COVID happened for incarcerated people.
Yeah, and Luzerne County, they had another issue a few years ago, and there was a flood, I think it was from Hurricane Sandy, and they forgot they actually had a prison to evacuate until long after the floods, because it's built right on top of the Susquehanna River, until long after the floods came over the prison.
Wow.
And find out everything in the prison, they realize, wait, we're supposed to evacuate the prisoners? It was Luzerne County in the state facility, too. I think that was the state one at retreat it was.
Mm-hmm. And you're pretty active on Facebook, too. Would you have a couple of Facebook groups you might recommend people if they want to get involved in the movement to support prisoners?
Yeah, there's a long litany of them. One of them is the a long list of them. One of them is the Prison Reform Movement that I just told you about. That
Prison Reform Movement on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah, that's one hit by Carol Leonard. There's a number one. There's another one called it's nationwide. It is. I'm also active with their national Zoom call called the Yard, THAYARD, and that's the Formerly Incarcerated College Graduates Network. That's for formerly incarcerated and their allies in that. And that other one, the Yard, is run from an outfit called the Commissary Club, and that's also on Facebook too, which I'll give you the listeners for that.
Well, thank you, Pinky. We're just about at the end of our half an hour for this show. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to make sure to let people know about?
Not this time. And here's the link to the Commissary Club's page, where there you can find out about the Yard and everything else.
Well, thank you. So tonight we've been talking with Pinky Stanteski, who's she is an advocate for folks who are incarcerated, a recent graduate, has written a book, and is very active online, connecting people with resources and educating people about injustices and movements for justice. Yeah. Pinky, it's been a real pleasure.
You're welcome. There's also some Twitter-based ones too on there with Twitter. Yeah, you can go on Facebook's the better one of them all. And here's my Twitter address, which I'm dropping in the chat box too, and all that.
Great. Thank you so.